Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Mr. German.
Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. What about that side?
Doing well, man. Cannot complain at all. Great to have you on the line. Blessings to you and your family.
Thank you, sir.
Now, today's lesson focuses on the sanctuary and what it represents in terms of the ministry of Christ for all of us. Now, please describe the sanctuary for us.
As we discussed yesterday, in Exodus chapter number 25, going through chapters 46, we see that God asked Moses, commanded him to make a sanctuary, and the main reason was to reveal and illustrate the plan of salvation that was put in place before the existence of the world and the creation of man, and also that God may dwell with his people. In other words, he wanted to have a personal relationship. And so the sanctuary had the two rooms or compartments, we call, namely the holy and the most holy. And it also had an outer court where animals were brought for sacrifices, and the priests would walk from there to the most holy, into the most holy place, which was entered once in a year. And it was a symbol, like I said, in the revelation of Jesus' sacrificial ministry in heaven, because God told Moses that whatever, as you are building, you're making rather the sanctuary, should resemble the services and the everything that happens in heaven. And so people in the Old Testament were so certain that God was among them, and they felt that they could be forgiven through the ministry or the services of the sanctuary. So in short, we can describe that the sanctuary was a place where people met their God. It was a place where their sins were forgiven, and it was the symbol of the great work that Jesus was doing then and was to show to the world as we know today.
Beautiful. And I like that they would go to the sanctuary and ask for forgiveness. Now, if today we come to Christ and ask him to forgive us of our sins, can we be certain that he will do so? I mean, in the olden days, there was a process that was followed to make sure that people are certain that the sins are forgiven. Now, can we, be certain that Christ will do so?
Actually, we have to be certain, because people in the Old Testament were so certain and confident enough that the human priest would help them, would help their sins to be forgiven. And if they trusted in a human being to have their sins forgiven, today we can be surely, we can boldly go to Christ and have our sins forgiven. And in the Bible, Jesus himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody cometh to the Father but by me." Mm-hmm. And he has promised to forgive all of our sins. And again, if people believed in a human priest who himself would err here and there, but Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain from the foundation of from the foundation of the world, and the Bible tells us that he was and he is without blemish. Surely, certainly, boldly, if we go to him, we can have our sins cleansed and forgiven.
Now, is such forgiveness really possible for us humans? I mean, if you could please share the story of Pastor Tim Remington, maybe as an example.
Yes, the forgiveness that Jesus offers to the world can be exercised by those who follow him. On March 6, 2016, according to a certain article, it tells us that Pastor Tim Remington mingled with their church members outside the church, and it happened that a certain young man who had mental problems used his handgun to shoot him about 12 times. And so the pastor said in the ICU intensive care unit for some days, he received the treatment, and he miraculously he survived. But the most fascinating part of the story is that the pastor forgave this young man. Now, how do you forgive someone who almost took your life? How do you forgive someone who cheated on with your wife? And how do you forgive someone who did kill someone who was so dear to you? That forgiveness cannot work for us if we are connected to Jesus, because whatever Jesus was on this earth, that he expects us to be. And the forgiveness he extended to the humanity, we also can forgive each. That's why the prayer in Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus says, as you pray to the Father, say, forgive us as we forgive our enemies or our transgressors. So Jesus forgive people, forgives us. We also, as his followers, we need to forgive. And as Jesus forgives all our sins, there is no sin, small or greater, that we cannot forgive a brother or a sister if he hurts us.
Yeah. Now, describe there for us the holy place in the sanctuary and what that represents.
Right, like I said, the sanctuary had two parts: the holy and the most holy. Now, the holy place had three items. First, it had a seven-branch lampstand that burned continuously. And as we read in John chapter 8, Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And continuously, these represented Jesus as the light to the world, the light that shines all the time, that does not go dim. And secondly, the holy room had a table of consecrated bread, as we found in Exodus chapter 25, verses 23 to 30. Again, this symbolized Jesus, because in John chapter 6, verse 35, he calls himself the bread of life that satisfies both the physical and the spiritual hunger we go through. And thirdly, the holy place had the golden altar of incense. And that represented Jesus' prayer ministry for us in the very presence of God. We know when we sin, God feels bad. And Jesus will say, Father, you forgive this adulterer. You remember I spent time on the cross for him, so please forgive him. So that order of incense in the holy place represented Jesus' ministry. He is praying for us before the Father. So in general, that's what the holy place was all about.
Yeah, and indeed that is what it was all about. Lastly, when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the separation between the holy and the most holy place? In fact, I wanted to also just maybe before you get to that, describe the holy place, rather the most holy place for us and what it represents, because we spoke about the holy place earlier.
Yeah, unlike the holy place, which had the three items, the most holy place had just one thing, and that is the God-covered Ark of Covenant, which contained the two tablets where the Ten Commandments were printed. And also they had the mercy seat and the two cherubims facing each other. And this was called the mercy seat because it was and it is believed that this is the dwelling place of the Most High God. And God, as we read in the scriptures, especially Exodus chapter 25, told Moses that you will be meeting me there. So, as I said, the most holy place was entered by the high priest in once in a year. And as he went there to have the sins of the Israelites are cleansed, he understood that I am here to meet the God of the Israel, and we are here to have our sins cleansed and to have a new start with our God. So the most holy place was just made up of that one item, unlike the holy place.
And then the separation between the holy and most holy place, what does it mean for us? I mean, this is when the Messiah died on the cross.
Yes, the Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil that separated the holy from the most holy place was torn in two halves. Now, that happened as a symbol that now you have the direct access to the Father. As we said yesterday, sin separated a man from his maker, from the direct, the physical interaction that existed in the Garden of Eden. And this time now, Jesus says, okay, you did not see the most holy place because it is the dwelling of the Most High. Now, since I have come as the high priest, I have ushered you into the most holy.
Mark?
Especially in John chapter number 15, telling the disciples, telling the Israelites, and telling us today that we have to approach the throne of God boldly, since he, our high priest, has prepared the way. And also he instructs us to say, if you need anything, have yourself forgiven, you want something that's physical, material, come to the Father through my name. So the separation of the veil represented Jesus' ministry and Jesus' way for us to reach the Father that was hindered way back before the introduction of the sanctuary.
Beautiful. Well, my brother, I must thank you so much for coming through. Blessings to you and blessings to the family. It's indeed a very exciting and yet complicated, study, and you have made it all the more understandable for us. For that, I truly, truly appreciate. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.